Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. This is Joe and Angie. We're back for another Mailbag Monday.
Thanks, everyone, for being with us today. Now, don't forget, you can submit your questions by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
Well, let's go ahead and look at some of the questions that we have received this week.
Okay, growing up, I had a pretty low self-worth. I know it affected me in ways I will probably never comprehend, but I don't want that for my kids. I know this question sounds kind of generic, but I really don't know where to start.
Great question. You know, Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We all grow up being told that we're dumb, ugly, stupid, get to the back of the line, go to the back of the room. You know, the devil shows up early because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So the devil shows up early talking to people that actually love us or say they love us. Man, you're dumb as dirt. Man, I don't even know why we had you. You know, go to your room. And so there's not a lot of boldness in that. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Or who's the righteous? People that know who they are in him, in whom in Christ. It starts with the word of God. So, you know, first for yourself as a parent, you're going to have to find some scriptures. I tell people, just get you a Bible and just get to Proverbs and just read a proverb a day and pick one verse out. You know, what does it say about you? Well, I can do all things through Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I'm surrounded with a shield of divine favor. Man, this is what I did. I started with 3 by 5 cards. I started looking for scripture. What does God say about me? Yeah. I know what people said about me. What does God say about me? Because that's who I really am. I use the story of Gideon all the time when I taught high school students. You know, Gideon was a wimp hiding in a hole. Man, the enemy had overrun his country. They kicked him out of his house. He's hiding out in the cave, and he's in this little hole in the ground, stomping him some wheat, trying to make enough flour to make a biscuit so he doesn't starve to death. All of a sudden, God sends an angel, and the angel lands right next to Gideon and says to Gideon, "Hello, you mighty man of courage." Gideon argued with the angel. "Man, you made a wrong turn coming out of heaven. There are no mighty men of courage down here. Shh, be quiet. I'm trying to hide." And the angel speaks again, "Hello, you mighty men of courage." And so I use those stories throughout the Bible to help my high school students. You got to find out what God said about you, not what your mom said or your dad or your uncle, or the coach or the teacher. It's what God said about you, because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change his mind. So start with yourself. Get some scripture. Just read a proverb a day and find one verse that applies to you. This is who you are, because until you change, your children will not change, because the Bible says a child, when fully taught, is just like their teacher. So I've got to realize, you know, I learned early. Having all those kids, I learned early. It's like, man, what's wrong with my kids? I'd ask, what's wrong with my kids? And one day my wife said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you. They're just like you. Mm-hmm. Luke 6:40, a child when fully taught, just like their teacher. I thought, I don't need my kids to grow up. I need to grow up. They'll respond to me growing up.
Well, and it's very true. You know, I was raised in just an average American family, and I had 2 brothers. And there's a lot of teasing and cutting down. I'm from the South, and we think everything's funny, and it's mostly cutting down. And I remember when I had kids, I was older. I'd been married 10 years before I had children. And I realized as a young adult that most of my insecurities came from, like you said, other people's words and what they said about me. So I just determined very strongly with my kids, you are not going to cut down. We are not going to do that in my home. And I almost went to an extreme, because when we moved back to the South and my kids went to school and they got around other kids, they'd say, they're so mean, they're so harsh. And I'd be like, well, they're just kidding. You know, I had to back it down just a little bit. I went a little overkill.
Yep.
But the thing is, it did help their self-esteem. And so, you know, words, the Bible talks about your words.
Yes.
I think I studied it one time. It was more than it actually talks about Jesus.
Yes.
And so you have to replace those negative words with God's word That's the bottom line. For you, yourself first, like you said, to become the example.
Yes.
And then for your kids.
You know, the scripture is kind of clear. If you meditate in the word day and night, you'll prosper and have good success. And where's prosperity and success come from? Well, it's who's in the White House. It's who's in Congress. No, it's how much word you've got in you. God promised. He said, I'll order your steps, direct your paths. I'll guide you in all truth. I'll show you things to come. I'll be with you when you go to sleep, when you wake up. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But so many of us, man, you come out of home where you've been yelled at a lot or maybe corrected a whole lot, or coach wouldn't play you, teacher wouldn't pass you. Thought, man, I'm just trying to not look stupid. My goal in life is to not look stupid. You know, you're just trying to blend in. You hope nobody notices you. And right. So, no, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be the light and the salt. But that starts from what's on the inside of you. So you got to start with yourself. You just got to start saying what God says about your kids. I've done it to my kids. Listen, I've told my kids, you've got the mind of Christ and wisdom of God. And that came after they brought home an F in algebra. You know what? God bless you. You know, you got the mind of Christ. We're going to be spending more time together, evidently, because you got to do algebra again. And you have to just, you really just got to kind of watch your words. It's where everything starts.
It really is. Okay, so the next one is, what is your best advice for singles to find someone? The church I go to has very few people my age, so I'm not going to find someone there. I'm definitely not going to go to a bar or a club to find someone, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's another $64,000 question. I remember having all those kids, especially the five girls. When do you meet somebody? I said, well, you know, where do you think you meet somebody? Well, people, you know, you go out with other people. Well, what do you mean you go out with other people? Well, other people. Where are other people at? Well, I guess they're at a ball game. Well, that might be good to go to a ball game. Might want to maybe play on the ball team, you know? You might want to try to go out for cheerleading or go out for choir or participate with other people. You're not going to get lucky. And I remember people have come by the office when I first got on staff at a church. People would come by, and it was sad. A couple of guys came in, I remember that first week, you know, and one guy's crying. I'm so lonely. I have no friends. I said, well, how long have you been here in the country? What's going on? And I asked some questions. And so they thought evidently America was, the land of opportunity for everybody, and they're going to be friends just knocking on your door. So no, they're not. The Bible says you got to show yourself friendly if you want to have friends. And so we started a whole class for our high school kids about, you know, how to start a conversation, how to carry on a conversation, how to answer in a conversation. And we also talked about, you know, making sure you bathe every day, brush your teeth twice a day, carry on a breath mint, you know, watch how you look, how you talk, and your body odor. And we need a class on hygiene. We just did a class on hygiene and how to have a conversation. And so the Toastmasters are very good at this, so we adopted a lot of their things, you know. I love the Toastmasters. You know, I've got some of my family members that belong. They teach you how to talk in public because, you know, it's not how smart you are. People don't know if you're smart if you can't speak up. Well, I'm not going to speak up. I'm too shy. I'm too bashful. Well, you're not going anywhere. Again, the righteous are as bold as a lion. So, you know, when you're single, you need to start volunteering somewhere where other people are volunteering, not where they're feeling sorry for themselves, you know. And people would say, you know, one of our groups, you know, we had the singles group. They'd go to it, and people would come by the – I went to singles last Friday night. I said, how was it? It was depressing. A lot of other people depressed. Can't find a life like I can't find a life. Well, you're going to the wrong place probably to find somebody. Why don't you go volunteer for the Red Cross or the Salvation Army? Go volunteer to help somebody, because you're going to run into other people, not just people that need help. You're going to run into people who like helping other people. There are other good people on this planet who do like doing things for other people. They're aggressive. They like themselves. They feel good about themselves, and they're wanting to go give their life to other people. And that's who you got to get around. So I tell people, you know, don't just sit back there alone. Go volunteer somewhere and look in your local Yellow Pages. Look in your community. Where can you go volunteer?
Yeah. And that is very true. Now, I was single for 12 years and I did not date those 12 years, but one time our church asked me to host a singles event. I called the associate pastor the next day and I said, listen, that's like a who's who of Ripley's Believe It or Not going on in there. No, just even the word singles,
yes.
It's sad. It's like, let's lump them all together so we don't have to deal with it. The truth is, like you said, you need to get involved.
Yes.
And you know, I remember one time, you can't take out the God factor in everything that you do. I was 19 and I'd just gotten married, I'd never been on a plane, never been west of Nashville, and I suddenly moved to Spokane, Washington. I was freaking out. They were different. I was from the South. There was nobody there from the South, I can promise you.
And you sounded like you were from the South.
I had a very heavy accent then. And people just stand there and listen to me talk. It was funny. But I remember one day I said, I am so lonely. I don't have any friends. Mm-hmm. And my husband at the time said, well, we need to pray that God's going to send you friends. And I'm telling you that to this day, this woman is a very special friend of mine. The next day, it's very uncharacteristic of her, she came and knocked on my door and said, I know that you're new here. I was just wondering if you want to go to lunch. And to this day, we are still friends. As a matter of fact, I sent her a text yesterday. But that was a very special,
yes,
special that she did that. And I'll never forget that. So since that time, if I see somebody that's lonely or something or isolated.
By themselves in a room.
I can't handle it because I remember very clearly what that felt like. So just like you said, I mean, the best way is to be friendly.
Your weakness almost becomes your strength. It's like you can only sit there so long and feel sorry for yourself. You end up being a hermit. You won't go out. You won't dress up. You won't go see anybody. I don't know what they're thinking about me. I used to tell our teenagers, nobody's thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. Mm-hmm. So stare back at them. They're not thinking about you. They're worried what you're thinking. So show yourself friendly. So you're going to learn how to start a conversation, carry on one. Make sure your breath smells good. You bathe really good. There's just certain things that will really help you meet a lot of good people.
And God wants you to have the desires of your heart.
Yes.
If your desire is to have a relationship with someone, he wants that.
Yes, he wants it more than you do.
So you just have to take a step towards it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a real issue with my oldest son's back talk. I find myself arguing back and forth with him, and I feel like I'm losing the argument when it shouldn't even be an argument. How do I deal with this?
Well, I don't know the personal situation. I do know after having a big family, you got to kind of, what they used to say, nip that in the bud. Kids are usually arguing back because they've heard that. And so one of the things I always admired about you, the way you raised your kids, it's like you got to be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. Stay real calm. If you're upset, don't yell, what did you say? What did you do? Who are you? No, you got to stay real calm. Mm-hmm. You know, a soft answer turns away wrath. And so you just need to talk to him normally. I'm sorry. Is there a problem here? Well, I'm blah, 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 blah. Well, can you explain that to me? Because the calmer you stay, the calmer they will get. What they're usually doing is responding to your face expression, your voice tone. They're just firing back what's been thrown at them. So it starts, this is not a magic wand. You're not Tinkerbell. This is not Disney World. You got to start somewhere. I'm going to speak slow. I'm going to speak soft. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be very direct. I'm going to listen more than I talk. But no, we're not going to talk like that. And so I don't threaten. I don't count to 10. You just got to change the tone. Somebody's got to set the standard about how we talk in our house. We don't do that in our house. We don't yell. We don't throw stuff. We don't slam doors. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to start with us as an adult, how we handle it. We don't overreact. And, man, it was hard. I'll tell people. I remember I used to tell a story that I built two fire pits in my yard because we lived way down in the country, and I kept firewood all the time. And I realized you can't ever say to your kid, sit down here, we need to talk. The minute you say that, they're going to clam up like concrete. You got to just, hey, you know, I just would go out and build a fire outside. Might be winter, might be summer. I'd build a fire out there in the yard, and all of a sudden I'd sit down on it. We had big logs, and I'd sit on a log. Some of the kids would come out and say, hey, Dad, what are you doing? Building a fire. What are you doing? I'm just building a fire. What for? I just like sitting around the fire. Usually they'd come out. Hey, right? And they would begin to talk. And now you had to learn that once a kid starts opening up with you, not to overreact on what they said. Hey, Dad, this happened at school today. Well, who were you with? And why don't do that? And well, that's interesting. What did you think about that? Jesus always answered a question with a question. They'll answer their own problem if you'll get them to talk about it. But if you overreact and the decibel level goes up, you're not going to solve anything. You got to learn that somebody has got to start the calmness.
Yeah. When I went through my divorce, my kids were 9 and 13, very, very sensitive ages, and I realized that their world was already rocked emotionally.
Yeah.
And I have never been a yeller, and I don't like cutting down and everything. So would scare my kids more than anything. It was funny. My daughter said she was out to lunch with a bunch of her friends, and they were talking about their parents and how their moms would yell and all this stuff. And my daughter said, my mom was exactly the opposite. If my mom would scare me to no end if she got quiet. Because they knew, you don't want me to get quiet. And so I remember one time my son, he talked back to me, and I said, I got real quiet, and I said, my expectation is you're going to speak to me in the same courteous tone that I speak to you.
Man, that's awesome.
And I just got quiet, and I looked at him, and he put his head down, and he goes, I'm sorry. And, you know, he backed down. The quiet is powerful. Yes, he is. Who loses his temper loses.
Yes, he does. Yes,
the first one, I realized when I was in business for several years, it was a man's world. And I realized the second that I got emotional, I would lose. Yeah. But if I stayed steady, I could hold my ground. And it's the same thing in your family. You know, you're being an example, a reflection of God to your children. So you don't want to get in a cat fight with them.
Nope.
You've got to set an example. And it's not going to happen overnight, especially since this tendency has already started.
Yes.
You're going to have to hold your ground, and it's going to take a little time.
Yeah. What's changed with Dad? What changed with Mom? Why are they so calm?
Exactly. Exactly. But hold steady.
Yes.
It will work. All right. The next question is, what should I do if my children want to drop out of an activity that in the beginning they begged to be a part of?
Well, I only have one story on this one. I always encourage my kids to be a part of something. I wanted my children, I'm going to make a bumper sticker out of this one day. I said, how did you parent? I wanted my kids busy, tired, and happy. Because when they got a lot of spare time on their hands, stupid's going to happen. So I wanted you busy, tired, and happy. So I wanted my kids to play every sport, volunteer and be in the choir, be in the school play. I want you busy. When you come home, there's no time to get stupid. You just want to take a nap. I just need a rest. Yes, you do. That's going to make you a really nice person. And so I tell kids, when you start something, though, you're going to finish it. So I had one daughter in particular, great athlete. She was real busy with it, and she's doing really good, great kid. But all of a sudden, she came home one day and said, Dad, I don't even want to play basketball. I want to be a cheerleader. I said, well, you want to do both of them? Yeah, we can do that at our school because cheerleading starts real early in the morning. You have to be there at 6 o'clock for cheerleading practice. It goes from 6 to 7:30 of a morning. I said, yeah. And so now we live 31 miles out in the country. And I knew that means somebody's got to drive you in. You don't have a driver's license yet. So I thought, well, I said, you understand once you commit, you're gonna do it a whole year. You're not going to jump in and jump out. We don't do that. Where they took violin lessons or piano lessons, you're going to do it for at least a year. If you commit, you better think about it because you're going to do it for a whole year. And so I remember the first morning because we had a great tournament and thing, and so she's going out for cheerleading, and they've had practice. She's made the squad. And so we have to get up at 5 a.m. It's already a busy life. We're up at 5 a.m. I said, honey, get up.
And all of you had to go to school at 5?
Yes, everybody's got to load up. I can't make 2 trips. And so, man, she's the hated one of the family. And then – I just didn't realize, and I'm just going to quit. No, you're not. You're not quitting nothing, buddy. You said you're going to. And so, man, it was tough. She was not the family favorite.
I might have let her quit if it meant me getting up at 5 a.m.
We did it for a year, but she never went out for cheerleading again. She never went to be in cheerleading ever again.
Well, my kids were in a place, and they were in the amazing Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and they loved it because they got to get out of school some days to go practice. The next season, they were in Will Rogers Follies, and there was only 4 kids in that play, and they were 2 of them. And, well, they didn't like it as much because it was summertime. And so they would have to, when everybody else was out playing, go in and practice. And oh, man, it was misery. It was misery. Every time we were driving in, they were crying and everything. And I'd say, listen, you made a commitment. You're one of 2 of 4 kids that are in this play. A lot of people are dependent on you. When opening night comes, if you don't like this, you never have to do it again. And you can tell me it wasn't worth it. So perfect. It was the miserable summer. Opening night came. It sold out. For 2 weeks, this performance, and they they're back in their dressing rooms and everything, that they come out, they do it, do a great job, come out, you know, and then they had a big party after an opening night party for the thing. And I remember driving home in the car that night, and I said, let me ask you something. Was it worth it? And they said, oh, yeah, it was so worth it. That pattern sticks to them to this day.
Yes.
And both of them, they have that same stick-to-itiveness that because, you know, they realize the result, the end result was worth it. And you're training your kids when you can hang them on, tell them to hang on. What you're training them is to say, to get successful in
yes.
life. That you may not get the reward here in the beginning or even in the middle, but if you stay determined and you stick with it, you will win in the end.
Because the people that don't make it are the ones that quit.
Mm-hmm.
They start this, they quit. They start that, they quit. And they learn to quit. Well, I'll just quit. I'll just drop out. I'll back up.
It becomes a life pattern.
It becomes a life pattern the rest of your life, and you'll do it when you get married. You'll do it as a parent. You'll never keep a decent job. You'll just,
no.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. No, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it well, and you're going to stick with it.
Yeah, exactly. And the great thing is, like, my kids, I've never have known them to call in sick for work.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. It started a pattern in their lives, which I didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah, I know you
that
don't.
Was just a benefit. But it started a pattern in their lives that to this day is a reward.
Yeah, the same thing with our kids all the way through school. You're not missing a day. You're going. I don't care if there's one morning. I don't care if you're puking your guts out. We'll get you get all 10 o'clock. We're taking you to school. You're not staying home all day long. Because once you start that, I don't feel well. I don't feel good. Well, you're not throwing up. Yeah, but I don't feel good. You running a fever? No, but I don't feel good. I don't care how you feel. You're going to school. People can't say, I don't want to go to work. Because if you don't work, you don't eat. Because they don't pay you. So you got to develop some early habits of just finishing something. That's probably the main Christian trait, you know. If you make a commitment, Jesus taught about it. Somebody asks you to go 1 mile, you need to go 2. They want your shirt, give them your coat. Do something extra. Don't just do enough. Do something extra. People notice people, both students, athletes, employees. People notice people that do something extra because most people are trying to get out of something. So it's just a trait of success. You start real early in their life, like, if you commit, you're going.
Well, and I think so many times you're bogged down in the daily life of just busyness with your kids that you forget. My job here, my responsibility is to train this child to become a responsible adult.
Yes.
And you have to constantly remind yourself of that.
Yes, you do.
So that's good.
Well, that wraps up this week's Monday Mailbag. Before we go, we just want to thank all of our ministry partners for your faithful giving and for your prayers. It is because of you that we're able to continue reaching people and changing lives. If you'd like to become a partner with us or even just give a one-time gift, please go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com, and click the Donate tab. There you can give and help us reach more and more people with this message.
Thanks to everybody for the great questions. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here.
God bless you.